Life is sweet. Let it sweep you off your feet.
Hi, you're listening to Find Your Joy. If you're looking for ways to thrive rather than survive in a world that can seem rather chaotic, you're in the right place. We will be sharing stories of our own as well as those from guests who have found ways to bring hope, healing, and freedom into places where trauma has impacted them. I'm Allie, author of The Art of Healing Trauma, and I'm here to remind you that life is sweet. Now, let's dive in and find ways to create our joy.
Hi, it's Sally and Find Your Joy. Please remember to like and subscribe. Okay, we are back to round two, duh, in both official languages, with the fabulous, wonderful, all-around interesting fellow himself, Mr. Roland Barrett. Rolly, how are you doing?
I'm great, but I thought we were actually live the last 15 minutes.
Oh, damn, I wish we were, because it was awesome, and now we have to talk about it all over again.
Yeah.
What were we just talking about?
We were talking about when you think you did a good job and playing music, and then the times when you think you didn't do so well, and you go back and you go, actually, that was really authentic, and it was well done. And then the days that you're like, I just killed it, and you go back, and you look at it, and you're like, what a wanker.
Well, you know, it's true, because it's well, here's something that happens to me, and I know this happens to everybody, right? So you'll have a night where you think is like the worst night of your life. You'll be just like, why do I even do this? I suck so much. This is so awful. And that is going to be, I guarantee you, that'll be the night the most people come up and say, oh my gosh, it was so awesome. You touched me so deeply. And I'm like, how do I trust you people if you can't?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about? I know me.
Yeah. It's kind of like that. And then at the same time, times that I thought what we were talking about was that I used to record myself, and you'd done the same thing. I would record myself, just have a live recording happening while I was, practicing, gigging, whatever I was doing, so that I could hear later, because sometimes I would think, like I've just invented a new wonderful thing. I get quite excited with myself. Whoa, yeah. Didn't hear that note. Look at, I'm doing really well. And then,
I invented a new chord.
Yeah, that's right. Like, I'm so awesome. I can't believe this. It's the life of an artist, right? I'm the worst and the best at everything I do. And so I'd be like, and then I'd listen to it back and I'd be like, wah, wah, that was not very good at all.
Yeah. The worst is when you do, you got a new song or something. I had a new song. I named it Karma when it first came out. I did release it on an album when it first came out. It was not good. And I was like, this song's amazing. It's like a hit song. And I recorded it and I sent it to a bunch of people and then nobody really responded. And I listened back and I was like, oh my God, why did I send this song to all these people? Oh my God. Oh man, I feel so yucky right now. That's life, man. That's the tough stuff right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But part of being creative is being brave, right? Like being brave enough and okay enough that it might suck. And sometimes the same song that turns out okay, it started at, I thought it was brilliant, then realized it was horrible, then rewrote it into mediocre, and then played around with it. And it was, because I mean, I still have an imagination that tells me like, I'm practically going to cure cancer with my songs. Like every once in a while, I'm like, oh, that is such a good line. I just love that line so much. I'm so happy with it. And then.
You wanker. Humility is a powerful tool, Allie.
It is. And the other part of it is that's part of being creative, right? Part of being creative is like, well, I'll say after my accident, I couldn't do anything really. I started painting. I was sharing these things on Facebook and I was like, oh my gosh. And for the first couple of years, I was painting, painting, painting. And then So
I remember
what
that.
happens with brain injuries is you have these sort of they're called awakening things that happen. And I've had two so far. I pray for another one. I really do. But I go from totally in a chamber of horror to one day, and it's like that. All of a sudden, I became more aware. I was told it could happen, and it did happen. But I was still a little bit, I still wasn't quite right, but I was so much better than I was. And it literally happens like that in an
Does it
instant.
stay?
Pardon me?
Does it stay with you?
Yeah. It's
Oh.
been brilliant. And so I've had two in my recovery so far. There have been two times. And when it happens, the clarity kind of all of a sudden comes. It's very, it would be, it's kind of like, almost like turning the light on and off. It's that, it's like a shocking, holy crap event. And some people
Yeah.
never get them, and I've had two. And so on my second one, this is where on my second one, I looked at my paintings and I was like, oh my God. And I became, what the hell have I done? And then I look, I've been sharing this shit. Oh
Yep. Have you ever seen the show House?
no. Doc with a doctor?
Yeah.
Oh, I love, yeah, yes.
There's an episode where this guy, he's painting and he's doing portraits of people, and this couple comes over and he looks really serious. He's painting it, and then the lady's been posing there for, for days, and he finally, I think it's ready, and he shows it to him, and this is like this ugly cartoonish caricature. And the husband, who just paid him $1,500 whatever, punches him out, and he doesn't know what's going on because his brain is seeing something else.
Yes.
Yeah, his brain is seeing like a Picasso, right? A beautiful thing, when it's a 3-year-old drawing of somebody's
That's right.
mom.
And it's so funny, right? Like you see things that sell for like $1 million, and I'm like, what the hell is
Yeah.
that? But
Yeah.
it's
I'll make you that for 15 bucks and a block of cheese.
the and the
Yeah.
cheese will already be moldy, and you have to cut part of
Yeah.
it off.
You got it.
That's how I grew up, anyways. In the 60s, we did a lot of cutting mold off cheese and keeping
Yeah,
with
same with bread.
it. Yeah. Oh my
Yeah,
gosh.
remember you remember giant bags of dried puff wheat with milk that was mixed with dehydrated milk to make it to save money. I don't know if you were that poor, but we were. It was the shits, man. Like, I can't tell you how many times I went to, like, I just, God, it was so bad. Yeah.
Well,
And some of that puff wheat was so dry that it wouldn't actually expand until about an hour later when you'd scoop it. And then shit really hit the fan.
Well, we it's sort of funny. It's gonna sound like a what is it called? Like I'm negative. I didn't really know that we were really poor. Like my mom was a single mom, raised five kids, and by herself. My dad left when I was about six. And wait a second, there's a song in here. But and it was like in the 60s, and it was like, this kind of this weird thing that.
There's a song there for sure.
It is a
Sounds like.
song. I was almost gonna try to sing it out, but I thought I've been talking so long, I don't think I could sing at all. No, see, it won't
Oh, tasty stuff.
work.
You have such a great texture to your voice.
Oh, well, I
Yeah.
that's kind look at me. That's very kind of you. I might send you privately the stuff that I've been recording with, some of the most incredible musicians ever. Some of my like I've my songs that I've been working with, I think I told you I've been every 6 months I've been recording two songs with Steve Dawson. And
Okay.
a band of amazing, Steve Dawson, four-time Juno Award-winning, like just amazing.
Oh, at is that Bryan Adams Studio?
Yeah. So
Wow.
he does these things where he started doing this thing he does it twice a year. I don't know how long it's going to happen for, but I've got into it so far. I've lucked out. And it's super affordable. It's $750 a song. And you're
What?
Oh, it's crazy. And you go in and the musicians are all there. You send the stuff and it, but it's just right off the floor recording, right? It's like
That's
boom,
the way to
right
do it,
now.
man.
It's the best.
My
And with
second
like
album,
in
we
an
did that. We
hour.
did the, sorry about that. Go ahead.
No. In an hour you have the song. So I've been
Yeah.
doing two songs at a time. And I at the first time I did it, I'm gonna tell you, the first time I was like I was so sad because I had been working on my voice and stuff, and my voice is very hit and miss right now, right? Like I could one day I can sing, and then because of this thing that's going on, if when it closes, and I'm working on
Is that
how
psychological?
part of it is I'm thinking, but the other part of it I've had they put the tubes down my throat and told me and
Yeah, I've had that too.
it. And it
Mine was
can.
an esophageal sphincter that was closing, and a lot of it was from over listening when I was trying to work on an album, and I was
Oh,
getting ear fatigue, which was
really?
it's a real mental game, yeah.
Well, so this is the, what they t so the two things that are happening is there's something in my neck. Well, no. First of all, there's that I haven't used it for so long, so it's a muscle. Next is that I get in my head about it. And then I have this thing called vocal cord dysphonia, which is not a problem with the vocal cord; it's the muscles around it. And
Right.
then there's something wrong with my neck. And if I even put a heating pad on my neck and relax it for a while, I can sing better. It's interesting. So
Okay, yeah.
it's all
Well,
of
it's
this,
comforting, right?
yeah. And it relaxes instead of me being tight. But
Yeah.
going in, I'll say going in with these guys. The first time I was pretty nervous. And of course, I went to I what I did, it's two songs that I'd written, and they were so brilliant on it. Like what they and I told them I wanted it to be country, like really old time. I both of them were written originally as blues songs, but I decided I'm going to do country stuff. So I said, look at this. Anyways, just going in there was so fun, and it's just beyond what I you're it's such a gorgeous studio. Like, holy
I've
crap.
seen pictures of it, yeah.
It's so
I've
beautiful.
seen fellow musicians that have gone in there, and they just, yeah, it's just a. And I, my buddy, I don't know if a good friend of mine. He's my favorite local musician, Scotty Hills. Scotty Hills has a, him and his partner. They live right around the corner from there, so we walk and
Oh.
go for coffee. We look out at all the time from outside, being like, oh, nice to be in there right now.
Yeah,
The
it's
stories they can tell, eh?
Yes, it's the walls. It's just it's
Yeah.
hey, you've got your guitar there.
Yeah, I wanted to show you what happened to it. It's I this is a Morgan that I got. Remember guitar
Oh,
Fort back on the day?
say again.
Guitars on Fort, the shop on Fort Street back in the
Oh
day.
yes, yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, my buddy Pete owned that for a little while too. But I brought this is a Morgan. I had a Taylor 814 CE. This is a little bit of guitar porn. It was an 814 CE, and I wasn't a big fan of the Taylor sound. It was my favorite guitar to play because it was really fast neck, and I'm not even a lead player. It was just a fun guitar to play. But I saw this and I tried it, and I absolutely loved it. This is a Morgan, and it's got Madagascar rosewood on the back, which is beautiful.
Oh, it's
Hard to get these
gorgeous.
days, but it cracked when I brought it here because I'd never been to Mexico. I didn't know about the humidity or anything, and but there's nothing
Oh.
wrong with it,
Oh, it wasn't damaged in the flight. It was damaged because of the humidity.
you got it, yeah. And it's not even damaged,
Really?
it's just cracked a little bit. But I won't bring it back to Canada because I'm renting a place here, and I'm paying like a half rent while I'm gone just to keep the place.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. So as
Oh,
you can see, I just
I want to get information about that.
it's a beautiful guitar. But I just tuned it. It's out of tune if I play a song for you?
I was just going to ask you if you got a guitar there. My gosh, play us a song.
Do I have a guitar here? You know what? I'm going to cheat. I'm going to bring on my guitar tune here. I don't really feel like mucking around.
Yeah, no, that's
Guitar.
awesome.
You'll need to unlock your
I don't need to unlock my phone. I do whatever I want.
That's right.
No, actually,
you're not the boss of me.
Yeah, I'll just tune it by
Siri. Yep, right. So everyone who's listening, you can just, this is the joys of making sure it all works in a hot climate when everything, when you tune it and then halfway through the first strum.
Yeah, it's brutally, it's the humidity is really, it's about 95% humidity right now.
So I'm curious, guitars made there, is there a way that they acclimatize them or do something differently?
The guitars here by locals are not like, they're different woods.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, that it would be.
And they're nylon string.
Oh yeah, of course they are.
I've got the worst ear of any musician, I think. There we go. I'm going to play a song off my my second album. This is, you know, I've never played electric guitars, and I tried one on a couple of occasions because those Strats are so beautiful. And those American-made Strats, well, I don't even talk about American-made, but anyways, yeah, another story. And they were a lot less expensive, you know, 10, 15 years ago. And I bought it on two different occasions. I bought them and brought them home, and I just couldn't get into it, man. I just, you know, it's a whole different animal.
The hard body and all that.
Yeah, I didn't start young. Well, the whole, you know, the amplifier tones and all that.
Yes,
so I just,
yeah.
But every time I would buy one, I would feel guilty about bringing it back because I'm a guilty feeling person. I don't know. And I'm like, okay, well, what I'll do is I'll just buy another acoustic. Well, acoustics are 2 to 3 times more expensive.
Yes.
So I really screwed myself. But I ended up with some nice guitars. but yeah, this is a song that I wrote. I had a Strat. I had a black Strat. And I had a Seafoam Green Blues. I think it was a Fender Blues Junior or something like that. And the black Strat was an American-made standard Strat. Beautiful. And I had it for 9 hours. And I brought it back that night. But I wrote this song on it.
Oh,
not the lyrics. I wrote the song and I wrote the music and I wrote a couple of lyrics and it would just came to me like one of those, you know, 15-minute songs, right?
Yes, they're the best.
Yeah. So I'll play that. It's called No Enemies, No Friends. It's on my second album, 2017, Dark Hearts and Other Stories.
Okay.
For my life, will you ever catch me? I stay away from complications. I'll take the loneliness instead. Yeah, we share the same sadness, but the difference between you and me, you're so stationary. Well, you know, I got to be free. So wait on those diamonds with working class smile. As I feel the drama continue to pile. Every town has its own sound, but they all sound the same to you. So take back your social club days. South of this dirty old town, cause the highway don't care, give a take or even consider your friend. The sounds of the darkness I can hear from my motel room. And the cool night air thrills my mind with deja vu. My body's told to continue, but my mind's too young to stop. So in the morning, I'll take what's mine and I'll move on out again. Ain't got no worries to hang on to. Cause I made no enemies and I made no friends. Ain't got no worries to hang on to. Cause I made no enemies and I made no friends. Something like that.
Oh, thank you. It's beautiful. I love your playing on that too.
Thanks for listening. Yeah.
Oh, it's, I thank you for doing that. I'm grateful. It's a beautiful musical interlude. I'll tell you something else.
Right.
I love that bird was joining in.
Oh yeah. There's a few interesting birds in this tree.
Yeah, but they were, here's a segue, but lately I've been seeing that birds will join in with us a lot. You know, I've been noticing it a lot. They love to, if we're singing or we're doing whatever, screwing with the camera, but they'll join in. And I do vibrational sound therapy, right? So I was in my studio and I was doing a group sound bath. And it was summer and I had the window open and I was playing and I, you know, whatever, do, 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 you know, I played these notes and then I thought, am I just imagining that? So I played it again and the bird played it again. Then I played three different notes to see if it was just by chance. And that bird was singing with us. It was so amazing. And so when you were playing, I was sitting there, I was loving what you were doing. And when I heard the bird, I was like, oh my gosh, I love it that, you know, the whole world, the nature just wants to harmonize. That's,
oh
it's,
man,
it's all about the harmonies, right?
Yeah.
So I hope that the sound is, the quality is good enough when we play this back. I hope that you can hear that bird that was following along with you, because it wasn't just randomly. It was,
that would be cool. Here. Yeah. I was focused because I had,
of course,
my fingers were cold. Right. So I was like focusing and getting
It was awesome. You sounded great. And I just thought it was awesome that bird joined in, and it was, it was very,
you're going to hear some noise coming up here soon. Like in Mexico here, when people come by to sell stuff, they do everything on a megaphone.
Oh.
One guy has, he comes by and he goes, he's got a recording that goes, comes in. There we go. And my landlord's dog is crazy. I just came out here to show you the mangoes.
Oh, okay.
This is the tree that's on my property there. Can you see them?
Yeah, I can. I can. Your thumb's in the way a bit, but I can still see them. There we go.
No way.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And these are like foot off the ground. So they'll be ready right about the time I'm leaving, unfortunately.
Right.
I think my landlord, he said, I moved in here and he said, oh, those mangoes are going to be ready in 2 weeks. I think that was a selling point. It's been like 2.5 months now and I'm still waiting for the mangoes. I wouldn't have one bad word to say about a Mexican person.
No.
Some of the most beautiful and nicest people in the world. Unbelievably. They'll do anything for you.
I know. I can't remember ever meeting anybody in either in Canada that is, that came from Mexico. I have, a friend, Pepe, he's from, sounds like,
is his last name Longstocking? That's a bad joke. Oh my God, just slap.
That's awesome.
I'm sorry.
That's awesome. Pippi
I'm sorry.
Longstocking was my absolute
I'm really
favorite book
sorry.
when I was a kid. Anyways, but
I'm going to get back on track. Pippi.
no, that's good, Pepe. No, he's a local in Victoria musician and from Mexico, and he's I forget the start the, like chi something. My brother also lives in Mexico, eh? Jamie, he Bocephus King. He lives in
Jamie,
musician. Yeah, he lives in
but that his what's his stage name?
Bocephus King. He's
Yeah.
yeah. I don't think he's using that now. I think he goes by Jimmy. But
He's got such cool music.
he does. He's got some really. But he lives in down. It's got an X in it, like either XI or X.
Oaxaca.
What is it?
Oaxaca?
Maybe that sounds
Oaxaca?
like. Probably down much more south, closer, like
Yeah.
closer to Guatemala. Yeah, that's
Yeah, Oaxaca. It sounds like you're saying it's spelled like Oaxaca.
okay.
But
Yeah,
it's Oaxaca.
probably.
The X's are like H's.
He lives down that way. He lives up in the mountains, and then comes down to gig there because that's where the people are. But yeah, I have a few
That guy
friends
is a
who.
super interesting guy.
Yeah, I have a few friends that go down. Like he's lived there now for 3.5 years, but I know lots of people who go down, like musicians that go down and end up. That's you spend your winters down there, which is great, and then you can gig and
Yeah.
you can pay your way there.
I had to come inside. It was so hot, man.
I bet hey, is it are you air conditioned where you are, or does it need to be?
No, my bedroom is air conditioned, but I'm in the living room right now, and there's a fan, but it's not quite that late where it's gonna,
Right.
I sleep in the afternoon. I get up at 5 in the morning, sometimes 4:30. I'll have my cup of tea and then I'll grab my stuff. I'll go out paddle boarding. If there's waves, I'll catch some waves. I used to surf, but I tried surfing about a week or two ago. I took the bus out to a spot, rented the biggest board they had, and went down the trail about 10 minutes to the beach and went out into the water, and that board just sank. It doesn't hold my 265 pounds.
Okay.
I'm in pretty good shape at that weight, but it's still too heavy, right? And I went
Yeah,
back and
yeah.
got another one, and that board was just too heavy to maneuver. And I was like, I'm done with this. I'm just going to go back and stick to my paddle boarding, which I love, and I'm very good at it. And
Yeah, and
I
it's a
decided to
nice.
try catching some waves on a paddle board because we have this point in Busuriya that occasionally the waves are good enough that you can catch them with a paddle board if you can paddle really hard. I was catching them on my knees, but last week I kind of had a bit of a breakthrough and I was able to stand up, paddle into the wave and catch it and depart the wave and still stay on the board. So that was a lot of fun. So I'll either do that or I'll get up and I'll paddle board out and visit the whales or the dolphins, or sometimes usually I'll go out and I'll do about 45 minutes of yoga, come back, have breakfast, and then I go to sleep for the
Yeah.
afternoon for 3 hours.
That makes sense. That's why people do the whole siesta thing, I guess, right?
Yeah,
You
I can't.
work around the heat.
I don't want to be miserable. I want to be nice and relaxed. So
Yeah, I can get.
I do gigs. I do 5, 6 times a week. I do gigs, and my gigs are, you know what I'm like. I'll do 4 hours, right? And take
Yeah.
maybe 10 minute breaks. And I got a guy that I'm hiring. He's a local Mexican guy, and he has my cajon, which I normally use a pedal for, but he's much better than I am, so it's nice to have him. And I
Yeah.
pay him a fair wage, and he gets to make money, and we play all night. And like a lot of people that play with me, he's like, "Dude, when are you going to take a break?" Like, I like to hustle, man. I like to know that there's dollars out there that could be in our tip jar.
Yeah, for sure.
Almost like a game, right? It's like, yeah. And I do
Yeah.
lots of things. I learned a lot of marketing stuff. And one thing I learned is that I liked marketing a lot when I went to Berkeley and did the music business. And I came up with this idea, and I don't know if it'll work, but a friend of mine has an old Roomba that she's not using. On the stage where I played on Rico Winer on the deck during my break, I want to put a tip jar on that Roomba and just let it roam around.
Oh, That's interesting. Here's
Kind of silly, but it might work.
well, here's what I'm wondering. That's it's not what I'm wondering if it would be if it could be people could trip over, like, do you know what I mean? Like, if it's wandering around there.
Oh, yeah, that's true too, yeah. I won't actually do it. I just thought it was a fun idea.
I think it's a great idea. Well,
Yeah.
all I'm wondering about is for one thing is because as we know, I fall now, but also because I worked for years as a disability case manager, and so my life is very I've spent 40 years of my life working around
Accident
people
and
just.
trip.
Yes, I'm always looking for where's there's a problem. Now I live within it, but but so that's the first thing I'm going. My first thought is, oh, that's a great idea. Oh, wait a second, somebody could fall on that.
Yeah, no, I actually never thought of that, and you're right. So probably a dumb idea.
Don't think it's a dumb idea. I just think they might not be able to allow it. It would be a workman's comp nightmare, and but if everybody kind of knew it was happening and it just kind of did it, and you did it with within certain boundaries, it would probably work okay. So that's a whole other thing. So when you're playing in a place like, okay, so let's say Enrico is the bulk of is what your income is tips at a place like that.
No, I get paid pretty well at Enrico. I've been there a long time, but I also make tips there. But I'll do things like I have Vistaprint is a musician's best friend. You know, I
Okay.
have vinyl signs that I make that say, and I learned a lot of this stuff playing on the Santa Monica Pier and places like that. And I haven't bussed anywhere near the amount of time that a lot of these old school musicians have. Even some of the younger musicians have bussed longer than I have, but. You know, with the combination of going to Berkeley and getting a little bit of music business background and reading branding books and stuff like that, I've learned a few things. I read a book by Amanda Palmer on how to ask for money and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But some of the stuff I do is I Vistaprint is amazing. You go there, I get these vinyl signs made that say "Enjoy the music." Thanks for your donations, and then. I also have a Q code and a website on there, which goes to a donation jar on my website. And I make sure that those tip jars are right up front where people exiting have to go buy them. And the biggest thing I've ever learned about asking for money is people aren't cheap. They just don't know how much to give. So don't put $5 bills in your tip jar. Put 10s, 20s, 50s. And don't take the money out during the break because people see all that money in there. They don't think, oh, that guy's already made up. They think, oh, this guy's, he's worth the money. Let's go and throw some more money in there, right? Let's be
Right.
part of it.
That's a good idea. That's a really good point for people. And I think, there's if anybody, artists and healers are the two people, the two kind of whatever industries or whatever that I would say that are people that don't really quite know just how the heck to market themselves and what's okay. And asking for money is hard. And with the tip jar, you're not really asking for money. What we're doing in a situation like that is making available a way for someone to be able to do that. That's what it's really about. And most people don't understand what all of it is about anyways. They don't really understand that people pour an enormous amount of money into lessons and instruments and all of that kind of stuff. I think quite often they don't get it. So if there's a tip jar and you can see that it's there, it's not really asking for money. It's just making it available for them. That's how I see it
You're
anyway.
looking for, we're looking for donations, and we're also, we're looking for cab fare, not bus fare. You got to let
Yeah.
people know,
Yes, that's
especially in Mexico. I don't, somebody gave me, I make sure people know that, and I actually tape the, and this sounds a little, it could be either considered awkward or even arrogant, but I mean. You're in business. You gotta let people know what you want and what you're worth. So I'll tape a 20 to the outside of the jar so it's staying and it's visible. So people
Yeah.
can cut in. And sometimes if there's too many fives in there, I'll take them out and stuff them in my pocket. you know, just so that they're not visible and people kind of get the idea that, because if your tip jar is full of fives, people are going to say, oh, he's taking fives, you know.
That's a, you know, that's a really good point. And I think that a lot of times people don't even think about that. And even if a person's, if you're even donating or whatever, tipping a person, you know, maybe to remember, it's better to throw in 120 than four fives. Do you know what I mean? Like just the mentality of how it all works, how people think and how that, and so the business side of it is, it's, I find it the most difficult thing. Like, it doesn't matter what I do. If I'm doing, sound baths, if I'm doing, writing books or, you know, writing books. Yeah. That's the thing. Writing books and selling them, two very different things. Right. Or if it's music, it doesn't matter what it is. It gets very difficult to like, so a bunch of my paintings that I had, David was like, why don't you put them up on the wall at your studio? And I'm like, and he's like, no, like then you have paintings up there. And then if somebody wants to buy them, you have a price on them. If they like it, I'm like, okay. Or even my books, I wasn't even putting my own books in there. And I've probably sold, I don't know, at least 20 books out of my studio. Just people come for a sound bath. And my, like my other, my first book I wrote on my own, The Art of Healing Trauma, I've at least 20 books have sold out of there that I would not have, I wasn't even going to put them in there. Like I was
now
like,
you gotta,
they're coming for a sound.
Your merchandise ain't going anywhere if it's not physical.
Yes. Yeah. And it, and it's a thing to remember, right? Like it's kind of like, oh, you know, well, even I'm starting to do some kids songs that I'll just put a QR. I mean, this is just all, you know, constantly thinking of what to do, right? But I write kids songs sometimes. Just, I don't know. Jingles are easy for me. I should have, you know, I should have been a jingle writer. Apparently they even make money. But those kinds of fun whoop-de-doo-doo songs just are very easy for me. They come naturally. It's a, you know, I'm not that deep. Like I just, it comes, it comes quite natural. So one of the things, I'm going into the studio next week. And one of them is a kid's song that I wrote during COVID. Now I don't mention COVID in the song at all. It's called Stomping That Bug Out. And it's just about, you know, wash your hands, cover your mouth. It's just whatever. It's a fun song, but I wrote it for my great or grand nieces and nephews, because of course, like all our, you know, my grandkids are all, you know, Hannah's 21, Cassius is almost 17. So they didn't.
That's crazy, eh?
I know, it just happened so fast, right? But I just, it was at a time when, and we're talking about this, right? You'd gone through some traumatic stuff and you picked up the guitar and it kind of takes you out of it. And it's the same reason I wrote that song, was because I was watching these big conversations around little people. You know, and I was thinking how scary this, you know, everybody's freaking out here, but imagine little children, what this is like for them. So I just wrote a song that was kind of fun about it, right? But I never mentioned COVID. So now it is in my, so my first book that's just coming out now, I've got four so far written for the collection. It'll be on the fourth one. Like I want it a couple of years out. I want it, give it time. Like people need time to heal from COVID. They need time to
absolutely
get past it, right? Because it was
a lot of ugly feelings around that whole thing.
And so I'm kind of, but there's still people, you know, kids, the whole thing is the Don't Be Scared, Be Prepared series. So it's about, you know, you don't, whatever it is, you don't need to be afraid. You just get prepared for it, right? So the first one on grounding and breathing. This thing is, you know, washing your hands, covering your mouth. Like it's just, these are just, this is just stuff that we need to deal with every day. So anyways, well, I don't know why I'm talking about that, but
I get it. Like I have a panic disorder, right? So, I mean, I've had,
me too.
Like horrifying panic disorders that are just, I've called the ambulance for myself. It's like,
right.
Tara can't breathe. Everything's dizzy, falling down.
Yeah.
I actually got them during performances when I first started doing house concerts.
Yeah.
And they were outrageous, like literally disassociating for the first three songs, not even know where I was. And people are like, oh my God, you sounded great. And I was like, when? Like, I don't remember being there, you know?
Yeah. And so, you know, that's
so breathing, like back to that, the breathing exercises you're talking about, you know, that's the biggest one, right? You gotta trust in your breath. You know?
Let it take you and let it I started with anxiety the first time it completely overtook me, I was 11 and I was off school for about 2 months. Like I couldn't
Oh
function.
my God.
Yeah.
That young, eh?
I was really
Did you
young.
ever figure why you were predisposed to it, or was it trauma, or was it just?
Well, that's a really good question. And I mean, so I've had a significant amount of trauma in my life. But I also, maybe I'm predisposed to it as well. Like I'm not really, I kind of go by, even though I don't know what color my hair is anymore, but I'm a redhead by whatever,
Yes,
like,
you are.
and it's, redheads, I mean, I've studied every friggin' thing I could about this, right? So redheads are, there's so many things about people who are redhead that
Yes.
are, like, we have more allergies. It's harder for us to deal with pain medications and things like that. We tend to, there's a whole bunch of things. So I'm like, I don't know. Is it that? Is it generational trauma? I had a lot of trauma, and so it could have been that, but I could just be a person who, is wired a little bit differently. Like, I don't know, because I don't know. I'm just the way I am. And so when I was, they put me on medication when I was a kid.
Probably not good medication, too.
No, I didn't even know what it was. And then again, when I was like 14, I had the same complete, and everybody, this the rumor was that I was off having a baby. That wasn't true. I just
Oh my
had a
God.
nervous breakdown. Well, every time I got it, my mom said I had mono. And I think a couple of times I actually did, but I don't really know. I just have these complete
The
breakdowns.
kissing disease.
That's right. I wish I was so lucky that that's why. If I was just smooching her up, woo woo.
You were
What a way to
smooching her
go.
up.
What a way to go.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to have a kissing disease? But yeah, so I just, I dealt with stuff like that, and then throughout the years, like you said, you kind of you figure out your path, right? So whether it's writing songs or doing yoga or paddle boarding, writing
Yeah, I'm
books, finding my
hyper-focused.
way
I'll get
back.
on something for months at a time, like and just like I'll get a new hobby and I'll just go bananas doing it, right? I remember for a while there I wanted to be like in the Memory Olympics. That was the stupidest thing ever, but
You
to
wanted to
this
be
day,
what?
to
Sorry.
this day I can still recite, I think,
Oh,
gosh,
memory.
50 digits. I created memory palaces and all sorts of stuff, but yet I still use an iPad to read my own lyrics to my own songs because I don't know what they are. Yeah. This is life.
I can remember the songs of Radar Love or something from back in the 70s when I was a
Yeah.
teenager. I kind of like I but it's true. But all of this, there's a way to find our kind of, finding our way out of it, getting really focused on something is, because I'm going to get really focused on something anyways, right? That's like my one, two, my third book in my collection of kids is called My Imagination Boots, and it is exactly what we're talking about. Imagination Boots is, basically in a fun, rhymy way that you would say to a 4-year-old, like you wouldn't put boots on and let your boots just take you out into traffic or off a cliff, or you wouldn't let your boots take you anywhere they want to. You
I want a
tell
pair of imagination boots.
You
That's
tell
an
your
awesome
boots where
concept.
you're going to take them. And imagination is the same. Our imagination can, we can write songs, we can paint paintings, we can
Yeah.
pretend and be everything, or imaginations can take us to scary
Dark
places.
places, yeah.
So we tell our imagination, and that's what all of them are about, is because, of course, a person who is, when you. It's like you, right? When you've dealt with some shit and you've dealt with some stuff and you
Yeah.
know what it's like to be,
It's amazing how many voices you can have trying to, the battles you can have in your mind that just you really have almost have no control over anymore.
Yeah.
Because they get so, they're learned, right?
Yeah.
And they just stick around and they don't go away and they're just, they're haunting you. But I mean, I learned that you can't get angry at those voices. You have to have conversations with them and let them go and say, you were here for a purpose. I now I don't need you anymore. Yeah. You can go. Thanks.
Yes. Thank you for what you did. You took me through some really, really dark times. And
yeah.
And there's been, you know, I used to think like, oh my God, what's wrong with me? But then I kind of looked at some of my life experiences and I started to think like, nah, I think more I should have like some kind of a freaking superhero cape or something. I'm not weak. I've made it through some really crappy stuff. So, but like you're saying,
now you have death.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to figure some stuff out. When things go really wacky in my head, if it starts to get a little bit busy, I have my little thing that I go through, and gratitude is my biggest one. And sometimes if I'm like in the middle of a lot of anxiety, I've done grounding, I've done things, and I'm still the busyness in my mind, I do my gratitude list. And sometimes it is as simple as, okay, so I'm grateful for my hair. I wouldn't want to be bald. I'm grateful for my eyes. I can see with my eyes. I'm grateful for my nose. I can smell and I can breathe. I'm grateful for my mouth. And then I do like I still have my own teeth, my tongue.
Yeah.
I can taste with it. I can like, I literally, I'm grateful for my ears. I'm grateful. And I go down that list. That's my, when I'm real, if I start to spin, if I'm really dealing with anxiety, and I know that the only way out of that, because anxiety is me imagining everything that could be wrong, whether it's real or not. And so
yeah.
The more I come back into my own body, my own space, the reality of it, and go through my list. And, you know, studies show that gratitude lowers cortisol levels. It increases serotonin and dopamine.
100%. And you cannot be angry when you're practicing gratitude.
You can't, right? So, and sometimes it seems like, you know, maybe it's not a grand and glorious thing like, oh, I'm so grateful for the world and blah, blah, blah. No, man, I am just like, damn glad I'm not bald.
Yeah.
I'm glad I can see. And then no, you're not going to get scared about maybe one day you'll be blind. You're just going to keep going. Because anybody with that, I call them terror attacks, by the way. I don't call them anxiety attacks. That is far too pale a word to describe. Right. So when I'm in terror, I can't, like, literally anything could happen. If I'm traveling, I can, oh no, what if, yikes, what if this happens? I just go through the list, baby. I'm going through the list. We're doing this thing right now. And yeah.
I hear all of that, man. That's, I once had a panic attack that lasted about 2 hours. And the only way I could get rid of it, and I practiced everything that I did, the breathing. The other thing I do is, which is the exact opposite of the gratitude thing, so I should probably practice the gratitude thing, is I decide to surrender to everything.
Oh, that's
like,
awesome.
I surrendered everything. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. There's nothing you can do about it. Just let it happen. Think of the worst case scenario that could happen to you right now. Accept it. And usually things quell, but this particular time it didn't. And the only way I could do it, after I was exhausted, my neck was getting stiff. It felt like it was going to break. It was so stiff from being tense.
Wow. Yeah.
Eventually I just decided to record myself, and it eventually dissipated slowly. And I still have that recording somewhere on my phone. I don't know if I ever want to look at it again, but.
Were you recording word? Like, were you speaking?
Yeah. I was talking to the phone saying, you know, this is happening right now. I'm kind of like, I don't want to call the ambulance again because I've done this before and it's kind of embarrassing. I was at the winery. Nobody's there, right? There's 60 acres of nothing. It's pitch dark outside. I had to get outside and anything. But one of the things that really triggers it is devices, iPads, iPhones, the light, the flickering
yes.
light. Yeah, it's really bad. So if anybody out there is having anxiety issues, that's one of the things that can really set it off. So, you know, careful with your screen time, right?
Wow, you know? that's very good and useful information, right?
Yeah, if you're having some from some vulnerabilities. You feel it coming on, get away from those phones and go outside and get some fresh air, take a cold shower, you know.
I think the stuff that...
Don't smoke pot. Well, I mean, unless it works for you. Not for me.
Yeah, no, I can't. I wish, oh man, I see people that, like, I can't, I haven't smoked pot for like decades and decades. And I, like, I can't. And I look at people that look so relaxed and I'm like,
yeah.
And I almost get sucked into it. Maybe I
would imagine that in Vietnam. You're like, hey man, we're going into a war zone. Oh, that's going to be so awesome. Fuck no.
It's like acid for me though. Like, and it's like bad acid. Like, it's not yeah. that fun kind of acid that you hear so much about. It's like a really bad acid.
Oh man. And I've had those too, right? I've gone to the hospital and asked them. Yeah. I've had we're 80s kids, right? We know all about that shit.
Yeah. Well, I can remember I say, okay, so here's the deal. My mom was an RN, but she worked her last 18 or 17 or 18 years in nursing, in mental health. So she worked at Riverview Hospital. And so when I was about 13 or 14, true story, when I was about 13 or 14, my mom was working at Crease, which was an acute ward. And most of the people there, many of the people were young people who had OD'd and on a psychedelic that had messed them up. This would have been in the early
70s. Oh, yeah.
I'm about 10 years older than you, right? So I'm... Yeah, so I'm 65. You're 56?
Yeah.
So you and Dave are born the same year. So that's...
We were born in the same month, actually. Dave was born on the 10th, right?
6th.
6th of October?
No, September.
Oh, I almost thought Dave was born on the October 10th.
No, his dad is. His dad might have been. Somebody's October 10th in his family, I think. But I can't remember who. But anyway, okay. So for me, it was like, I'm 65. So I was, you know, this was in the early 70s and my mom was working at the hospital there. But my mom was an amazing woman. Anyway, she took me to the hospital and she got permission to do this and wandered around with her patients. And they all told me why they were there. OD'd on acid, OD'd on this, OD'd on that. They're all totally messed up, right? And they were trying to sort that all out. So I experimented a bit with psychedelics, but not very much because I was also always so terrified. I did not want to end
up... But you had experiences with people that have bad things happen, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't want to end up in Riverview Hospital, man. I was
But you still tried it anyways.
Oh, yeah, I still did. You know, but it stopped me from doing certain things. When Coke became a really big, popular thing, I never tried it. I've never tried Coke. So I'm like, it's the one thing I can say, but I never did that. But yeah, I did mescaline and acid and MDA and stuff like that when I was younger. Not very much so. Like, I tried each of those one or two times, right? And had a, well, I'll tell you what, my last time I ever did a chemical was I had a very, very bad experience with white blotter. And it took me 6 months. They had to keep me on meds for 6 months. I was at home and stuff, but I kept having flashbacks. Went on for years. Shit. It was awful. It was
like white clinical, white clinical acid?
It was called white blotter. I don't know what it was.
Okay, yeah.
As a kid, it was on a little piece of paper. And then I found out later that you could get like a whole bunch or a little bit or whatever, right? And I was like...
You could buy a sheet. I've actually cut the sheets up before.
Yeah. So I tried that. I was probably like 13 or 14 years old.
Oh, my God. Holy shit. Wow. I was like seven. Well, I smoked pot when I was like 16, I think, or 17, but yeah, I never did anything. I never did anything bad, but I did a lot of bad stuff. I didn't do any supplements.
I had older brothers. 17. That's what I like to say. I had older brothers and
yeah,
I was like 11 or I was probably 12. My brother, I won't mention names, set up and he put me in a recliner chair with a speaker on this ear and a speaker on this ear. And then he put In a Gata De Vida on and gave me a joint and said, here, this is what it's like. And I just,
oh my God,
I was 12 years old and I smoked a joint with In a Gata De Vida player. I think it was like 20 minutes long or something.
You know where that song got its name from?
No.
apparently they were, I've heard this and I don't know, I think it's true, but you might want to fact check it, but they were so stoned in the studio that they were trying to say in the Garden of Eden. But they're like, in the Garden of Eden, baby.
Don't you know that I love you? Yeah.
Hey, Allie, I got to go to the bathroom really bad, man.
Okay, well, we can say goodbye.
Yeah, I drank a lot of Gatorade, but I'm trying to hang around because it's so much fun talking to you.
I know.
Now we're talking about drugs and psychedelics. I just want to hang out all day and maybe do something.
Well, we'll do this again. We'll do this again. We'll say bye for now, and we'll do this again. This is fun. I love this. This is great.
Yeah. Thanks so much for your time, and thanks for having me. It's a real an honor and a pleasure and a privilege. So,
that's really kind of you. I've been enjoying every second of this. So I'm going to quickly say goodbye so that you can your tea stop floating. So thanks to Rolly Barrett for hanging out. This is Allie and Find Your Joy. Please remember to like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.
See you guys. Take care.
Thanks so much for joining me today. If you found a piece of your joy in this episode, I would love to hear about what came up for you so that we can continue to grow the impact of this show. Thanks again. See you soon. And remember, find your joy.